Hi, Year 11s. In light of our mock exams coming this week, we thought we'd just talk at you a little bit about Macbeth and some of the important cultural context surrounding the play. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Great Chain of Being and why it was so important to Elizabethan England and the way people thought about the world and what it meant to be a king. Now, the Great Chain of Being is what's called a worldview. A worldview is a way of looking at the world, a way of viewing the world. For example, in a Christian context, you might view the world in a very different manner from someone from an Islamic or a Buddhist or a Hindu worldview. So the Elizabethans believed in this thing called the Great Chain of Being, which is very central to their Christian beliefs and a little bit superstitious, maybe. The Great Chain of Being basically, it was a hierarchy whereby God would be at the top, and at the very bottom, the worst levels of beings, things like demons and people that were damned to hell. Now, obviously, you'd want to be higher up this because the people higher up would have more power in life, such as nobles, kings, thanes, such as Macbeth, when he's the Thane of Glamis and the Thane of Cawdor. But you don't really have a lot of choice in it. The Elizabethans believed that this order was decreed by God, so that you didn't really have a lot of say in your fate. Your life and your destiny and your role in the world was decreed by God according to this great chain of being. Now, if someone was above you, you would obviously have less power and less say about the world than them. So someone like Macbeth as a thane is very ambitious to climb this ladder. But unfortunately for him, his ambition creates disorder in this chain of being. As he kills Duncan, he's disrupting the great chain of being, and Elizabethan sort of recognize that he's doing something very unnatural and overthrowing the natural powers of the world. After Duncan is killed, in Act 2, Scene 3, it's very important if you look at the porter who opens the door and opens the news of Duncan's death, who refers to himself as a porter of Hellgate, as if he is unleashing hell and unleashing disorder because he's revealing the fact that Duncan is dead. Similarly, in the same scene, Lennox remarks that the night was very unruly, stressing that disorder that is created by Duncan's death and the disruption in the Great Chain of Being. Later on, there's a lot of other references to the disorder that is created by Duncan's death. For example, Ross remarks in Act 2, Scene 4, that Duncan's horses suddenly turned wild after his death and contended against their obedience. Similarly, when Macbeth sees the ghosts later in the play, Lady Macbeth remarks that he has disturbed the mirth of their dinner, which could actually be a wider reference to the fact that he's disturbed the order and the mirth and the happiness that would be in place in the Great Chain of Being. So just keep that in mind that Macbeth's ambition isn't actually supposed to be a good thing. It's creating unnatural disorder in light of Elizabethan's worldview.